Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 76 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Like many other campuses, we're going to hit a gentle pause button on some of our large group events.
Moorhead State University is working to mitigate COVID's impact.
The National Guard is working with St. Clair to alleviate staffing shortages.
People who get flu shots are less likely to suffer from serious COVID symptoms.
The American Red Cross is looking for blood donors.
A local hospital has opened a drive-through vaccine clinic.
In sports, Rowan County soccer and volleyball teams are back in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 55. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
University students have indicated they want to continue in-person learning. But with COVID positive cases on the rise, Moorhead State is making adjustments to its fall plans. The university is working to identify student group and university events that might attract large crowds and put those events on hold for the time being. In a campus update broadcast to employees Wednesday afternoon, MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan announced a 30-day vaccination challenge for employees and students.
So we're going to have to learn to live with this vaccine. We're going to have to learn to live with COVID and its implications for probably some time to come. So as a part of that, we want to announce a formal goal of 75% to 80% of our full-time employees being vaccinated at the end of this month.
A drawing will be held in October for prizes and stipends for those who participate. Morgan says at this time, he does not expect a statewide vaccine mandate for university employees to be put in place.
A team of 15 National Guardsmen were sent to St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead as hospitalizations continue to rise. The team is there to help any non-clinical ways, like restocking supplies, establishing new ICU wards, and manning the overflow tent outside. Major Michael Wayne tells WIMT the National Guard team will remain at St. Clair as long as needed.
I hope that our presence here encourages people that we're not alone in this. It takes all of us to do this. And then the Kentucky National Guard is here for them.
The team is also assisting in getting supplies ready for those in the COVID Care at Home program, which was launched in December.
Recent studies say people who receive flu shots are less likely to suffer from serious COVID-19 symptoms. For the United States, most flu activity starts in October and ends in May. Peak flu activity happens between December and March, which is why flu season and winter are often linked together. Christy Green is the public health director for the Cumberland Valley District Health Department. She tells WYMT patients who get the flu shot will also take the same measures for COVID.
So people who opt to take that understand their own risks for flu, and may have other behaviors. Maybe they are, maybe they eat a little better. Maybe they don't smoke. Various things that could have an impact on how well they would do with a COVID infection.
Green says that even though COVID is still on everyone's mind, it's important to get the annual flu shot as soon as it's available.
The American Red Cross is currently facing a national blood shortage and is asking anyone who can to donate. With the increase of COVID-19 cases and the active hurricane season, they're concerned they will not meet hospital demand. The executive director of the South Central Kentucky chapter, Jennifer Capps, tells WIMT the organization is needing donors of all types.
We ask that you go to redcrossblood.org and put in your zip code, and it'll show you the blood drives in your area. And you can make your appointment right there on the website, and that's the best way that you can help.
Donors are asked to wear a mask to their appointments.
The Kentucky Medical Center has reopened its drive-through clinic to help further efforts in distributing COVID-19 vaccines. WMKY's Sean Gray reports.
President and CEO Donovan Blackburn encourages non-vaccinated individuals to do so immediately as the PMC works diligently to save lives. First and second doses of the Pfizer vaccine are provided at the drive-through. Immunocompromised individuals can receive a third dose with a doctor's order, with healthcare workers able to receive booster shots as well. According to Mountaintop Media, the drive-through is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. It is located at 150 Healthcare Drive in Pikeville across from the Speedway. Appointments are not necessary. For WNKY News, I'm Sean Gray reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
About 1 month into the school year, 17 of 171 districts across the state have closed their doors for a period of time. WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
The Kentucky School Board Association says sickness and worker shortages because of COVID are causing closures. In Lee County, schools have already closed twice due to staff shortages caused by COVID-19. In Frankfort Wednesday, the Interim Joint Committee on Education met to discuss the issue. A few solutions were raised, including changing the number of non-traditional instruction days allowed. Currently, districts are only allowed to use 10 NTI days for the entire year. While the idea of expanding the number of NTI days allowed was discussed, Co-Chair Senator Max Wise says he would not be in favor of unlimited NTI days, as he feared that could be abused. The committee also discussed allowing remote learning for individual schools and classrooms. Right now, the only virtual option, NTI days, must be implemented district-wide. To address the root of the problem as it relates to worker shortages, there was talk about relaxing restraints to get substitute teachers and retirees in the classroom quicker. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
State committees on education, health, and local government are meeting ahead of an anticipated special legislative session. The hearing-only meetings are meant to set the stage for action on COVID-19 policies. As the GOP-led legislature gears up to take on some of the decision-making previously handled by Governor Beshear, lawmakers are hearing testimony on the areas that could be most affected by their pandemic policies. Jim Flynn is with the Kentucky Association of School Superintendents. In a joint education committee, Flynn recommended the legislature look at strategies that would allow districts to shut down individual schools or classes rather than sending everyone home. He also said providing reliable funding streams for districts seeing fluctuating attendance is also necessary.
Stabilization of the school funding piece, I think that's foundational to allow districts to continue to operate, particularly on the in-person services component.
Governor Beshear has said he plans to call a special session as soon as lawmakers reach a general consensus about what can be accomplished, possibly as early as next week.
With new teachers, classmates, and expectations, back to school is full of uncertainties and anxieties. Stressful transitions increase changes that a teen will turn into drugs or alcohol to cope. Parents also tend to feel anxieties and pressures at the start of the school year. However, Gina Crosby with the Prevention Action Alliance says those concerns should not be projected onto kids.
There may be things that they're not even worrying about, and you talking about your worries is only going to increase their worry on top of everything they're already concerned with.
According to the Federal Monitoring the Future survey from June, despite declines in availability, alcohol and marijuana use among 8th, 10th, and 12th grade students did not change significantly during the pandemic.
A former Inez prison employee has been sentenced to 17 years for meth trafficking. WMKY's Hallie Adams has the story.
The United States Department of Justice says a former Cook supervisor at the United States Penitentiary Big Sandy was sentenced to 17 years Monday. 56-year-old Hank Williams of Whitesburg was arrested on charges of meth distribution, accepting a bribe, and using a communication device to facilitate a felony. According to Williams' plea agreement, he admitted to conspiring with inmates to distribute more than 50 grams of meth. It also said he accepted bribes while using U.S. mail to distribute drugs. Under federal law, Williams must serve 85% of his prison sentence. Upon his release, he will be under the supervision of the U.S. Probation Office for 5 years. For WMKY News, I'm Hallie Adams reporting.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow. Sunny with a high near 77. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 56. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 63.
On our feature segment today, the Morehead State football team will get its season underway this weekend. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has this report on what the team has been up to in the preseason.
Head coach Rob Tenier's squad returned to campus August 6th, with the team already having more than a couple dozen practices under their belt. It's an experience, he says, was greatly missed last year.
It was great to get back in a routine a little bit and actually have a preseason and, you know, just not only for football, but just develop some team camaraderie and really get to know each other and build something. You know, that culture aspect is something that it's an everyday thing. It's just not something you post on the wall.
Tenier says sights are set high this season. In addition to adding coaches Roland Brady and Micah Johnson to the staff, he says there's a lot of experience returning to the program, including the largest senior class for MSU football in the modern era.
We've got almost 25 seniors. Got a lot of game experience back. We've got some guys that are, you know, back from injury that maybe didn't participate in the spring. And we've got a lot of good depth, I think, especially on defense.
And it's experience that can be seen on all sides of the football, and that goes for team leadership as well.
We got our trigger guy back, Mark Pappas. You know, he's actually a junior, but he'll be competing his last semester. He's a team captain. He led the total bolts on our team, so obviously he's respected by our entire team, not just our offensive players. And he had a great spring last 5-6 games. He played really elite football.
Among those returning on the defensive side of the football are a couple guys who put out some very notable stats during the spring season.
But we've got two really elite players on that side. I think both of them have a chance to be defensive player of the year in the conference. First guy is Von Taylor, our defensive end. I'm expecting, you know, some big numbers and big plays and a lot of impact from him. And then Vinny Wineys, our Mike linebacker, first team all-conference last year. Had 87 tackles in a short season, so, you know, he broke our tackle record, individual game tackle record in the spring.
There's even standouts with the Eagles special teams, including Andrew Foster, who has been named to the preseason watch list for the Football Championship Subdivision Punter of the Year.
Andrew's got a chance to be the first punter in school history to average over 40 yards a punt 4 straight years. So, you know, I know he's driven to get that done, but more importantly, he's a team guy. So, you know, we're not going to always going to be able to kick the ball 50 yards. He understands that, and that's why he's a captain.
The Eagles are set to take on James Madison this weekend, where they are sure to face some stiff competition. Tenier says conference play for the Pioneer Football League will get underway in a few weeks.
We start October 2nd. We host Dayton on October 2nd after an open week. And so we've got, you know, got eight straight weeks after that of football in the conference. We host 5 home games. And we're home away every week. So there's no really back-to-back games, which is unfortunate.
And along with that tough schedule, Tenier says there's a drive felt by players and staff to keep the momentum going from their winning season, saying they're hoping to jump and take off from where they were in the spring.
And I think we were able to do that, you know, from just the type of practices and the competition we were having, and also just all the returning players. You know, and all those guys have been great helping and teaching and teaching the young guys and bringing the new players along.
Kickoff against James Madison Saturday is set for 6 o'clock in Harrisonburg, Virginia. More information on upcoming games, tickets, and where to listen and watch can be found online at msueagles.com. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio comes from Kentucky Utilities, offering residents and businesses the opportunity to support 100% renewable energy. The KU Renewable Choice Calculator can create customized solutions for both residents and businesses. You can learn more about the KU Renewable Choice Calculator online at lge-ku.com/calculator.
It's 76 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cassidy Stearman and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Sarah Mead has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Rowland Fall sports teams are back in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sarah Mead. The Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team is back to competition play this evening. The Vikings last played in the Bluegrass Invitational Saturday and have been focused on preparing for their next set of games. Tonight's matchup is a road contest against Boyd County, and Coach Steve Walters says things have been somewhat up in the air due to COVID protocols.
Now, Boyd County, as of last week, was quarantined. So I'm not super sure that they're going to be out of it by then. They seem to think that they are, or, you know, we'll have at least enough to play. So we're hoping we'll get Thursday in.
First set in Ashland tonight is set for 7 o'clock. In other regional volleyball action tonight, Bath hosts Lewis County at 6 p.m., Fairview hosts Russell, Ashland Blazer travels to Russell, Morgan hosts Raceland, and Fleming heads to St. Paul. All those matches are slated to begin at 7 p.m. Volleyball isn't the only high school sport in action tonight. The Rowan County boys soccer team is set to host Western Hills at 6:30 this evening. Russell hosts Greenup at 6 p.m. In girls soccer action, Rowan County travels to Russell for a 6 p.m. match. Fleming County hosts Pendleton and Morgan welcomes Menifee. Those games are also set to begin at 6 p.m. The Morehead State University soccer team only has one day of prep left before they hit the road tomorrow. The team has been putting in time after their weather called tied against Marshall Sunday and dealing with a few nagging injuries on the squad. Still, head coach Warren Lipka says heading to Michigan this weekend will be another set of tests for his team as they prepare to enter conference play later this month.
We don't start till mid-September, so we go up there and then we come back here to play VMI on a Friday. And that leaves us one game on that weekend and one game the following weekend against Chattanooga to get us ready. So, you know, four good games left, non-conference to, get us ready for what is really important towards the end of the year is conference.
MSU soccer will be at Central Michigan Friday at 6 p.m. and Eastern Michigan Sunday at 1 o'clock. Morehead State football fans will have plenty of opportunities to keep up with the team this season. Those wanting to watch can view all of the MSU home games on ESPN+, and those wanting to listen can tune into 96.3 FM WIVY. Fans in nearby areas can also tune in to 100.9 FM WGOH, as well as 106.9 FM WMST in Mount Sterling. Eagle head coach Rob Tenier says he's happy to see MSU fans come together.
There's a lot of excitement. I hope there's a lot of excitement for fans to be back in the stands this fall. It's going to be great to have Jaynes Stadium packed again. Of course, opening weekend, you know, September 11th, we got family weekend. So we're going to concentrate next couple days on James Madison and go compete and try and win a football game.
MSU is on the road this weekend to take on James Madison. Kickoff Saturday is set for 6 o'clock. More information and live stats available at msueagles.com. University of Kentucky's football opener against UL Monroe is set for Saturday. New starting quarterback Will Levis has caught the attention of his coaches. UK head coach Mark Stoops tells WKYT he's eager to see what Levis can accomplish this season.
I've just seen a strong leader, a strong presence. Again, he's very authentic, what you really like about him, and he works at it. He's in there a lot. He's in there watching film. He's, you know, handles himself like a grown man. You need that out of your quarterback, you know, so he's very strong.
Saturday's opener is set for noon at Kroger Field. The game will be broadcast on the SEC Network. Johnson Central's football team was scheduled to play against Ohio's Bishop Sycamore on Friday, but the game has been canceled for unknown reasons. ESPN streamed a Bishop Sycamore game after their coaches claimed to have legitimate high-level college prospects. Those claims were questioned during the team's abysmal performance. JCHS principal Justin Arms tells WKYT there has been much confusion about the real reason why Bishop Sycamore canceled last minute.
We were aware of the type of a team that they presented it to be, just similar to like a high school prep team that did have the ability to recruit some athletes both regionally and nationally. However, come to find out, it was definitely something much more than that.
Bishop Sycamore fired their head coach since the cancellation, and Johnson Central is still looking for an opponent for Friday. Officials in Ohio say they are looking into the matter. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sarah Mead.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., curbside delivery at 780-4282. Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ climbed to new respective records as U.S. weekly jobless claims reached their lowest level since the start of the COVID crisis. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 131.29 at 35,443.82. The broader market very strong, with the S&P 500 up 12.86 at 4536.95. And as mentioned, that's a new record close for the S&P 500. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 21, finishing at 15,331.18, which of course is a new closing record for the NASDAQ. As I mentioned, first-time claims for unemployment insurance very strong today, totaling 340,000, which is the lowest number since the start of the pandemic, and Dow Jones estimates were for 345,000 going into the report. And, of course, this data came a day before the key August jobs report, which comes out early tomorrow morning, and investors will be watching closely this report closely to decipher how fast the Federal Reserve will remove easy monetary policy. Economists predict 720,000 jobs were added for the month of August, and this actually would be down from 943,000 added in July. Now that we're in the month of September, investors note that this has been among the seasonally weakest months of the year, but many investors are holding a constructive view on the market as the technical backdrop remains solid and the economic reopening from the pandemic continues. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 50 cents at 91.78, App Harvest down 29 cents at 8.20, CSX up 4 cents at 32.58, AEP up 43 cents at 90.93, Humana up 10.56 at 416.16, and Walmart was up 78 cents to finish at 148.56. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Sarah Mead, Lakin Hupp, Alyssa White, Sean Gray, Rachel Turner, Shamari Mosley, Hallie Adams, Ethan Jenkins, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons, Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cassidy Stearman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.